It's nearly 12 o'clock and time for the KMXT Midday Report. Thank you for listening to KMXT on 100.1 FM. It's your public radio station, broadcasting from Kodiak, Alaska, where it's 46 degrees. It's been a pleasant day. One of those days it sort of looks like it might rain, which is true. They say a 20% chance of rain today. Mostly cloudy skies, high near 47. Northeast wind to 10. For tonight, 30% chance of rain, mainly after 4 a.m. Mostly cloudy skies tonight, too, with a low around 41. And those winds are going to turn to the east and go to 10 miles per hour. Coming up on the Midday Report, Alaskans would get a guaranteed $2,000 per year for an Alaskan Permanent Fund dividend under a constitutional amendment that Governor Mike Dunleavy proposed yesterday. Alaska internet users are being offered a $75 per dollar a month discount as pandemic relief. And it's flooding in Buckland. Those stories and more after national headlines.
Live from NPR News, I'm Lakshmi Singh. The U.S. has just reached a long-awaited milestone in the coronavirus pandemic. The head of the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, Dr. Rochelle Walensky, says that in most cases, fully vaccinated people can finally shed their masks.
Anyone who is fully vaccinated can participate in indoor and outdoor activities, large or small, without wearing a mask or physical distancing.
The CDC is still recommending masks during travel and on public transportation. Walensky cited new studies that reinforce the three COVID-19 vaccines in circulation are working, both in slowing transmission and in those who have been infected, preventing severe illness or death. Walensky says that's why it's vital for unvaccinated people to get inoculated. As Walensky put it, a chance to get back to some sense of normalcy. Since the coronavirus was first declared a global pandemic 1 year and 2 months ago, it has infected 32 million people in the United States and claimed more than 584,000 lives. President Biden is warning gas station owners against taking advantage of concerned drivers about gas shortages. NPR's Franco Ordonez reports on the steps the administration is taking to address supply disruptions.
Biden says Colonial Pipeline is resuming operations after last week's cyber attack, but that it will take some time for every region to safely and fully return to full operations.
This is not like flicking on a light switch. This pipeline is 5,500 miles long. It had never been fully shut down its entire history.
U.S. authorities say the ransomware hack was carried out by a foreign criminal organization. Biden reiterated that it does not appear that the Russian government was behind it. But he said the U.S. government has talked with Moscow about clamping down on cyber criminals and that he plans to speak with Russian President Vladimir Putin about establishing international standards on cybersecurity. Franco Ordonez, NPR News, Washington.
The president's trying to tamp down the escalating conflict in the Middle East, calling on Palestinian militants to stop rocket attacks into Israel. Israel has responded with a barrage of airstrikes. NPR's Michelle Kellerman reports on the ongoing diplomacy.
President Biden says so far he doesn't think Israel is overreacting to the rockets being fired from Gaza. He says his focus is to get all sides to de-escalate.
We haven't just spoken with the Israelis, with the Egyptians, the Saudi, and others. So it's a work in progress right now.
The White House says there have been dozens of calls at high levels. The Biden administration also sent a top State Department official to the region to meet with Israeli and Palestinian officials and urge calm. The U.S. is working through regional partners to deliver that message to Hamas militants. Michelle Kellerman, NPR News, Washington.
This is NPR.
NPR News is brought to you in part by Providence Kodiak Island Counseling Center. For an appointment or more information, 481-2400.
The Coast Guard sent out a press release Tuesday reminding mariners of new laws requiring recreational boats to use an engine cutoff switch, or ECOS, and an associated ECOS link. The engine cutoff switch deactivates the engine of the vessel should the driver be ejected. This would prevent the craft from becoming a runaway vessel. The law went into effect on April 21st and applies to all boats less than 26 feet that generate more than 115 pounds of static thrust and were built beginning in January 2020. According to the press release, there have been two incidents involving runaway vessels in Alaskan waters, and one of them resulted in death. Alaska Permanent Fund dividends would be guaranteed to be more than $2,000 per year under a constitutional amendment that Governor Mike Dunleavy proposed yesterday. And a fund that lowers electricity bills in rural Alaska would also be protected in the Constitution. It's been threatened in recent years. Dunleavy said his plan would protect both permanent fund earnings and the Power Cost Equalization Endowment Fund.
These are two funds that are at risk with regard to future legislatures, future governors, because there's a lot of money there.
A group of legislators stood behind the governor during the announcement. Some said they were encouraged that the proposal was a step toward solving the state's long-term budget problem. Senator Lyman Hoffman was the only Democrat who spoke at the announcement. He noted that any constitutional amendment must be approved by the voters.
And I'm looking forward to working with the people in this building to protect those funds and to present a package that I think the voters of Alaska have been expecting for quite some time.
The proposal would still leave a large gap between what the state spends and what it brings in. The legislature's nonpartisan budget analysts have estimated that a similar plan would leave an annual deficit of roughly $1 billion per year. That's about a quarter of all state funding for government. Dunleavy administration's officials estimate the deficit would be about half that size. Over the past 6 years, legislatures and governors have struggled to compromise on new taxes or deeper spending cuts to solve the problem, and that's led to smaller dividends than the formula in state law calls for. And the state's savings accounts have been drained. Dunleavy says his proposal is intended to lead to larger compromises to close the budget gap and to allow the state to focus on other priorities.
There's going to be huge give and takes in this process to fully come up with a sustainable fiscal plan moving forward that then allows us not to have to discuss this issue almost on a daily basis.
House Speaker Louise Stutes of Kodiak has differed on budget issues with the governor. Both are Republicans. Stutes says the House majority is excited to be part of the solution.
Even though there's not a solution yet, there's an optimism that we're at least talking about a solution.
There's only 1 week left in the session. Dunleavy expressed hope that his proposal could move quickly, but Stutes says it would be nearly impossible to pass. Under the proposal, dividends would be based on half of the amount drawn from the permanent fund each year. That's different than the current formula, which is based on how much the fund's been growing. Dunleavy had already proposed an amendment to put the dividend in the Constitution and to protect the permanent fund's earnings reserve. His proposal today would change that amendment. Across Alaska, users are being offered a $75 per month discount as pandemic relief for their internet. The subsidy on internet services is available for low-income households or those who have lost money during the pandemic. KUAC's Robin has this report.
It's called the Emergency Broadband Benefit Program, but it's not just broadband. Ed Barthalme of the Federal Communications Commission says the program throws the net wide.
There's a variety of service types that are included in the program. There's fixed wireless, there's wired for homes that have wired connectivity as an option. There's mobile, which is sort of more akin to cell phone service options.
It's a consumer discount off monthly service charges. A household is eligible if someone qualifies for the Lifeline program, receives assistance such as free and reduced price school lunches or a Pell Grant, or experienced a substantial loss of income due to the pandemic. Eligibility is defined on the website for the program, getemergencybroadband.org. There are also special terms for tribal residents. The program is set up to give eligible households a $50 a month discount, but most Alaskans could get $75.
I think that that's one important thing for Alaska listeners to know is the benefit is up to $75 a month for those households as opposed to the $50 a month discount.
The money came out of the huge Consolidated Appropriations Act passed by Congress in December. One aspect was focused on how much families relied on internet connectivity while they were staying apart from others to prevent from spreading disease. Bartholomew says it took a while to stand up the program, but for his agency, it was record time.
You know, Congress instructed the FCC to standing up a completely new program that's critically important, critically timely to the current environment and the current situation, but making it live and real, right, where people can actually start to collect benefits from it.
It won't pay fees that are already owed, but the discounts start this week. This pandemic-related program will continue until the $3.2 billion in federal funding runs out, or 6 months after the Department of Health and Human Services declares an end to the pandemic. The FCC website shows all the Alaska providers who are participating, the larger ones like GCI, Alaska Communications, and MTA, but also Cordova, Copper Valley, Ketchikan, and Cricket, 26 in the state. It shows that three providers in Alaska are giving discounts on devices as part of the program. Bartholomew says there are consumer protections built into the emergency broadband benefit.
So one of the big things that we wanted to prevent and make sure didn't happen was that people who needed this sort of assistance weren't stuck with sort of an episode of bill shock when the money runs out.
Customers can sign up by contacting an internet service provider, enroll online at getemergencybroadband.org, or mail in an application. If you're listening to the story on the radio and don't have internet service yet, you can call 833-511-0311. In Fairbanks, I'm Robin.
Warming weather has led to flooding in the northwest Arctic borough village of Buckland. As KUTZ's Wesley Early reports, an ice jam on the Buckland River is preventing the rising water from flowing out.
Buckland Vice Mayor Nathan Headley Jr. says he noticed water in the community began to rise Wednesday night.
Around maybe 7:30, 8 o'clock at night, I was cooking a late dinner and I can see the ice is moving through the river really fast.
Headley says minutes later, the water started gushing from the Buckland River onto the land.
Got my hip waders and started moving my children's motorcycles, snow machines, my truck, the side-by-side, bring them to a higher ground and came back and deal with the things around my house that I needed to save.
Headley says the community has seen flooding in the past, but it hasn't reached this level for years.
We never had a flood like this over 20 years. The water gotten high in the past, but not this bad, so it's been a while. And you know, we were basically not ready for it.
Headley says the city of Buckland and the local tribal council have been coordinating with volunteers to assist community members by boat. He says he hasn't heard any reports of injuries and volunteer responders are working to secure homes so they don't float away. Incident Commander Raymond Lee Jr. says they have 7 boats on hand for rescue efforts.
2 houses evacuated and the 3 of them, they were ready to evacuate, but they put everything up there and the water didn't go in their house, so they were okay.
Lee says there are 2 different evacuation locations for residents, one of which is for people who are in quarantine due to COVID-19 safety mandates.
The old blue building is for the people that are in quarantine, post-quarantine, and the ones that are not in quarantine, they are all going to head to the gym, to the school.
Buckland is about 75 miles southeast of Kotzebue, with a population of over 400 people. Right now, ice is jammed on the river below Buckland, and Headley says that will need to clear up for the flooding to slow down.
Below Buckland, if that part of the ice breaks up, then the water will have a place to go.
Headley says the water levels have been steady through Thursday morning, but he anticipates more gushing once the temperatures get warmer later in the day. The National Weather Service has a flood warning in the community through Saturday morning. With help from KOTZ's Nicole Edmison, I'm Wesley Early in Kotzebue.
It was morel mushroom mania on the Kenai Peninsula last summer. The 2019 Swan Lake fire left behind perfect conditions for the delicious brown-capped mushrooms to grow, including in the Kenai National Wildlife Refuge, which saw a large portion of the burn. The second year of the burn is never as good as the first, morel-wise, but there's still hope for mushroom hunters this summer. Kate Mohat is an ecologist for the Chugach National Forest. She told KDLL Sabine Pooks that the biggest factor determining whether it would be a good morel season is if there's enough moisture for the mushrooms to fruit.
For the Swan Lake fire burn, that burn occurred in 2019, and typically burn morels fruit with the highest abundance 1 year after fire, so this would be the second year after fire. So it's questionable what that sort of abundance will be like for this year. Because the ground is likely pretty wet down there, we had a good snow year, that bodes well for moisture and probably going to find some anyway. The other kind of interesting thing about what we found out last year, we had kind of a citizen science campaign through iNaturalist, where people on the peninsula in the burn area and outside the burn area collected or uploaded their morel observations. And there were quite a few morels that were found or observed outside the burn area as well.
When should folks start looking? Are you going to start looking for mushrooms anytime soon?
I would think it's getting pretty close. Typically, late May is when things start really popping on the Kenai Peninsula. And then, of course, the tricky part is getting them when everything's still kind of wet, because they stop fruiting when the ground dries out. But, you know, you go too soon, they're really small, or even harder than they normally are to find.
Last year seemed really fruitful. Did you collect a lot of morels, and what did you do with them?
Yeah, I collected maybe just a couple days. I don't enjoy eating them too much. I'm one of those people that's fairly sensitive to them. But something I tried new this year with preserving them was to put them on the smoker. I let them sit for a couple days, like on a screen or sheet, so that there's airflow and they don't mold. Morels will mold really fast if you let them sit in a bag for too long. So keep that airflow, let them kind of air dry for a couple days, and then I put them on the smoker for, I want to say, 3 to 5 hours. And then I finish them in a dehydrator. You want to make sure you get all the moisture out of them. And that was outrageously good.
What are some of the things people should be careful about when they're going out and looking for morels?
Bears. The first time I went morel hunting on the refuge, like 15 or so years ago, there was a woman coming out of the forest that had just been attacked. So it happens periodically, because in the spring, the brown bears are hungry and mushroom hunters tend to be pretty quiet and looking at the ground, not looking up. It happens. And then anytime you're in a burned area, especially, you got to look for overhead hazards, pits. It's not a very fun habitat to hunt mushrooms in. Do not wear your favorite pants.
And wear bear bells, maybe.
And bear bells.
If that's your thing.
And bear spray. Yes. And also, the other thing it's really easy to do, especially I feel like on the Kenai, is it's really easy to get lost. So having your iPhone tracking your location or GPS, because especially if you get a long, flat expanse, you can get turned around pretty easily out there when you're fixated on looking for mushrooms on the ground.
Any places in particular in the burn area that you think would be a good place to start, at least at this point in the season?
Anywhere you can access it. The burn had a lot of kind of spotty areas where there wasn't a complete burn. There's a lot of blowdown. And I think people were having some luck finding morels in there. But my advice would be to get to a section of burned conifer or broadleaf or mix, and to an area where you can walk for a good distance so that you're able to cover a lot of ground and hit a variety of aspects. If you're not finding them on one aspect, it's helpful to start looking at a different one.
This is Alaska Fish Radio. I'm Lainey Welch. Fishermen's objections to a fish board seat are nixed by lawmakers. More after this.
The Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute works to raise the value of our seafood harvest for the benefit of all Alaskans. Learn more at alaskaseafood.org.
In a marathon six-hour session on Tuesday to approve 186 appointments to state boards and commissions, the Alaska legislature overwhelmingly rejected one Board of Fish appointee while approving another who was strongly opposed by Alaska fishermen. Abe Williams of Anchorage was rejected by a whopping 41-18 vote, due in great part to his employment as a regional affairs director for the Pebble Mine. Representative Bryce Edgman of Dillingham called Williams a polarizing figure that did not have the trust of people in the Bristol Bay region. Also damning Williams were his proposals to increase the length of drift gill netters beyond the current 32-foot limit. Senator Lyman Hoffman of Bethel.
And the people in the villages would not have the resources to invest in and buy those larger boats.
Hoffman also opposed Williams' push to allow individuals to hold multiple salmon permits in Bristol Bay, adding that it would favor wealthy outside investors over Alaskans. Nearly 1,000 Alaskans submitted testimony opposing Williams since Governor Dunleavy appointed him in 2020. The governor now has 30 days to submit another name for legislative approval. And despite intense opposition by Alaska fishermen who opposed the appointment of Marit Carlson Van Dort of Anchorage, her seat was confirmed by a 36-23 vote. Opponents claimed Van Dort was biased in her voting toward the Chinook region and also favored sport fishing over commercial interests. A tally of the 36 yes votes showed that only one legislator from a coastal community voted for Van Dort, Andy Story of Juneau. As it stands now, only one reappointed fish board member, John Jensen of Petersburg, hails from a fishing town. Find links at alaskafishradio.com. Fish Radio is also brought to you by OBI Seafoods. In Kodiak, I'm Lainey Welch.
This is the Island Messenger, a look at personal messages, the weather, and community announcements.
Good afternoon and welcome to your Island Messenger for Thursday. It is the 13th day of May, the year 2021. The sun rose at 5:50 this morning and it won't set again until 10:24 this evening, giving us 16 hours and 34 minutes of glorious daylight. A gain of 4 minutes and 11 seconds compared to yesterday. Our record high for this date was 74, set in 1968, and our record low was 29, set in 1965 and 2012. Currently 46 degrees here in Kodiak, just a 20% chance of rain for the rest of the day, mostly cloudy skies, here high near 47. Just a 30% chance of rain overnight, mainly after 4 a.m., and a low around 41 overnight with east wind to 10 miles per hour. And for tomorrow, they're calling for rain mainly after 10 a.m., high near 46, east winds to 15 miles per hour, and your chance of that rain for tomorrow is 90%. Looking at our local tides, we have an incoming tide. Here on the east side, we're looking at a high tide at 4:20 p.m. That will be a 6.7-foot tide, followed by a low tide at 9:33 p.m. of 2.5 feet. Our high tide for the middle of the night here on the east side will be at 3:37 a.m. and be 9 feet. And our low tide for tomorrow morning is at 10:24 a.m. and will be minus 0.7 feet. Over on the west side, and these are Uganic Pass tides, you have a high tide coming up at 4:38 p.m. of 13.6 feet, followed by a low tide at 10:23 of 2.7 feet. Your next high tide will be at 4:10 a.m. of 14.7 feet, and your low tide on the west side for tomorrow morning will be at 10:52 a.m. and be minus 1.2 feet. Mariners, here's your weather synopsis for the North Gulf Coast, including Kodiak Island waters and Cook Inlet. A 1,014 millibar low, 240 nautical miles southeast of Seward, will move this morning and be absorbed into a front that will move northward across the Gulf on Friday. A 1,008 millibar low will develop 90 nautical miles southeast of Seward Saturday morning. The resulting weather, Marmot Island to Sitkanet, Kodiak's east side offshore, small craft advisory for Friday, northeast 15 right now and seas to 5 feet. For tomorrow, east 20 will become south 25 tomorrow afternoon, seas to 6 feet. Over in the Shelikof, small craft advisory through Friday, northeast 25 right now in the Shelikof, seas to 6 feet. For tomorrow, northeast 30, becoming east 20 tomorrow afternoon, seas to 7 feet tomorrow in the Shelikof. Inside waters, Chiniac and Marmot Bays. Chiniac Bay, northeast 15 right now, seas to 3 feet. For tomorrow, look for east wind to 15 knots and seas to 4 feet. Up in Marmot Bay, northeast 10 right now, increasing to 15 knots this afternoon, seas to 3 feet. For tomorrow, east 15, seas to 4 feet. The Borough Assembly is having a special meeting tonight. On the agenda is continued discussion of the Borough Manager, Michael Powers' evaluation. That will be an executive session. It is happening at the Bayside Volunteer Fire Station at 5:30 p.m. tonight. In addition, the Kodiak City Council will be holding a regular meeting tonight at 7:30. That's happening at the Public Library's Multi-Purpose Room. This meeting is open to the public. Materials and a link to the web stream can be found at the City of Kodiak website. And, of course, it will be broadcast live here on KMXT at 7:30. The Kodiak Island Borough School District Board of Education is seeking citizens interested in serving on the board through October 2021. Letters of interest must be received by 5 p.m. Wednesday, May 19th. That's next Wednesday. Interviews for the appointment will take place May 24th, and a special work session and appointment will occur at the special meeting on the 24th. Citizens interested in serving on the school board should submit a letter of interest to Bianca Clark, School Board Secretary, Kodiak Island Borough School District, that address, 722 Mill Bay Road in Kodiak. The Kodiak Arts Council and the Frame Shop are inviting Kodiak artists to submit new original creative work to be included in the 21st Annual Crab Festival Art Show. The show will accept and feature artwork by Kodiak artists completed within the past 3 years. Eligible media include, but are not limited to, drawing, painting, photography, mixed media, pastels, block and ink print, pottery, sculptures, collage, digital art, metalwork, jewelry design, fiber and textile art, and woodwork. The art show will be staged in person downtown at Fisherman's Hall, right next door to all the fun of the festival. The deadline to register as a participating artist is May 21st. That's just next week. Complete guidelines and a link to the online submission form can be found at kodiakarts.org or theframeshopak.com. Fishing vessel drill conductor training is happening in Kodiak. The Alaska Marine Safety Education Association and Alaska Sea Grant will offer a fishing vessel drill conductor class here in Kodiak on May 13th. That's today. 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. and May 14th, 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. at the UFA Seafood and Marine Science Center at 118 Trident Way. They're also conducting fishing drill vessel drill and conductor instructor classes on Thursday, May 27th from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. and May 28th from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. and again at the UFA Seafood and Marine Science Center. The cost of the class is $125 for commercial fishermen, $175 for others. Register online at www.amsea.org or call this number, 747-3287.
Arctic Care 2021 is coming to Kodiak May 5th through May 13th. Arctic Care 2021 is a no-cost healthcare services program provided by the U.S. Department of Defense in partnership with Kodiak Area Native Association. Arctic Care offers no-cost dental, medical, and optometry services to anyone in the Kodiak community. To learn more, including how to schedule an appointment, go to kodiakhealthcare.org or call 486-9870.
Listen for the Island Messenger here on Public Radio KMXT 3 times a day, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m., during the midday report at 12:20, and in the evening at 7 o'clock. If you have a community announcement or personal message, including lost and found items or pets, you can call KMXT at 486-3181, fax us at 486-2733, or email psa@kmxt.org.